Well, while we've been going through the Sermon on the Mount, we've gone through a whole chapter, and we've seen Jesus has completed his exposition of the law of Moses, showing us how we are to obey in a better way than the Pharisees and scribes did, which is an obedience that comes from the heart, not just looking at the letter and tightening things up and loosening things up to serve our preferences. He now speaks, as we come into chapter 6, about the normal righteous acts which his disciples do, and he begins to tell them how to do them. We already looked on Tuesday evening, the order is a bit, is not chronological or in the usual shape, but it's fitted in the way that I've been booked to speak. We looked about chapter 6, verses 5 to 14, about how to pray. And we're going to take a step backwards, and we're going to look at the introduction of this of this section in chapter 6, verse 1. Now, chapter 6, verse 1, in some of your Bibles, in the New King James Version, will say, "Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them, otherwise you have no reward from your Father in heaven." If you have another version, like the ESV, it will say something like this, "Do not practice your righteousness in the sight of others." In fact, let me just pull that up and see that properly. "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven." The two, I think, are interrelatable, and we'll see that in a moment. But it's important to note that Jesus assumes his followers will be generous with their money, because just like before, just like we said on Tuesday night, verse 5, when you pray. Verse 6, when you pray. Verse 7, when you pray. Jesus makes the assumption that his disciples will be those who pray. And just like this, he began that with charitable deeds. He says, when you do a charitable deed. It's in the context of money. And it is important to note that Jesus assumes his followers will be generous with their money in giving to the poor. But while it does speak here primarily about giving to the poor financially, I'm deliberately going to widen the application to doing charitable deeds, just as the New King James Version translates. And this is particularly because as we look at the ESV translation and others, where it says in verse 1, "Beware of practicing your righteousness in front of others." And that seems to me to fit the context of what has gone before. Jesus has been speaking about our righteous acts and our righteousness, how we are to practically live as Christians. And I don't think that as Jesus takes the righteous deeds as being just charitable giving, prayer and fasting, I don't believe the list is exhaustive. Just as he didn't go through every single law in this sermon when we're looking through chapter 5, but instead looked at murder in the heart, adultery in the heart, oaths, letting your words be honest and true, how to deal with enemies and persecutors. Now he is dealing again, but with their religious life. And he isn't making an exhaustive list. There are surely many things, many righteous deeds, many righteous acts that the child of God has to do. But these are the ones that he focuses in on. But for that reason, and for the reason of verse 1 could be translated, "Beware of practicing your righteousness in front of others," I want to widen the context a little bit. And so the first thing I want us to look at is because I want us to look at the charitable deeds, not just giving our money, although that is there, not just giving our money, but also other charitable deeds, doing righteousness, we could say, towards those who are in need. It might be not just giving your time, but giving your energy, giving your resources, giving what you have to those who need it. So I hope you don't mind me doing that. If you do, please feel free to talk to me. But we're going to look at that under three headings. Firstly, the tension of doing good works. There is a tension here. Because if we were to take the ESV translation, which says, beware of practicing your righteousness before others, then we have to cast our minds back to chapter 5, verse 16. Because Jesus tells us and tells his disciples immediately after the Beatitudes, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So even as we come to this point of charitable deeds, of prayer and of fasting, we still have this problem that Jesus has already said, be open about it. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And I'd suggest to you there is a tension that the Christian has to live with. I want to present to you two people. Person A. Person A has only read chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. And immediately, hearing the words to go and let your light so shine before others, letting them see your good works so that they might glorify God, they get to work. They go about doing good works with a motivation of giving glory to God. But they're not careful. They're not careful. They think it, and for a time they think it's going well because, well, unbelievers talk about how other Christians they have known just don't quite match them. That, wow, I've met some Christians in my time, but you? And they think that, well, this is going well. They're giving glory to God in one small way. They begin to think they're the real deal. And then they come to church and they're doing good in the church and others are seeing the good they're doing and others are praising them for the good they're doing and others are talking about the good they're doing and other people are thanking God for the good they're doing in the prayer meetings and in the church services. And this person A now really begins to feel that they are affirmed in what they're doing, that they are doing the right thing in their efforts for the gospel. And I would say that's not wrong, but they are, over time, in danger of two things happening. Firstly, they've come to a point where people just get used to them and stop thanking them. So the danger they then begin to face is this, that as people stop thanking them, they stop doing it. But the second danger is this, that rather than people stopping thanking them and they stop doing it and they cease from their good deeds, instead what they do is this. They get jealous of others who are doing good. And this might be translated into ministry. That they won't let anyone else get involved in their ministry because, well, they don't really want to share the glory. No one else gets a say. There's two dangers of person A. But there is a second person, I said, person B. And it's, they forget all about Matthew chapter 5 and they just read Matthew chapter 6. They read that they are to be careful, they are to beware, they are to take heed, you do not do your charitable deeds before men, to be seen by them. And so they become very careful in doing charitable works in secret. Oh, they're out and doing them, which is fantastic. And that's good. But they're doing it in secret. And that's good too. They're not making a boast of it. They're not making a show of it. This honours God. But don't think there are not dangers for them also. In fact, there are two dangers that I can think of. The first danger is, well, because they have hung their hat on these verses alone, they become proud because they have never themselves drawn attention to all the good they do. Not like person A. They become proud that they begin to perhaps secretly criticize the people who are not as private as they are. And you can see what's happening, perhaps a little bit of jealousy is coming in. But the second danger is this, that they become so reserved, so secretive in the things that they're doing, so careful not to do anything that anyone praises them for, that they can't take a compliment, but they also don't want to take a compliment. They don't want to come and say, and let anyone know about what they do. So what they start to do is this. They start to stop doing it. They become so reserved that they never speak of their God or do anything for him. You see, both have fallen into a pit. Person A and person B have fallen into a pit because there's a tension here. There is a tension. There is a thing of doing your good works that others see, although not in a boastful way, not drawing attention to yourself deliberately. But sometimes it just has to happen. Sometimes you will do good and people will notice. And that's not wrong as long as the glory goes to your Father in heaven. But then there's that tension of doing it in secret, not to be seen by other people. And so we need to be careful as we go about doing good works, as we go about doing our charitable deeds. And we need to be careful in the tension of Jesus' two commands. And for this, we need to think beyond our actions and examine our inner motives. Because otherwise, we will begin obeying one rather than the other. And we'll fall into a pit ourselves. So there's a tension. There's a tension. There's always a tension in the Christian life of doing good. But there is a motive to consider. And that's our second heading, the motive of doing good works. Because Jesus parades before us a wrong motive. Look at verse 2. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. You see, you can picture the scene, can't you? Here's, I want you to picture this like this. You see a man, he's on his way down West Street, and he's off to church. You imagine whatever church you want to imagine. And he's coming here, and he's on his way. He's got his Bible in his arm, he's got his charitable gift in his hand, and he's coming, he's making his way to this place. And that's great, that's lovely. But in front of this man are a parade of trumpet blasters. There's a brass band going ahead of him. And they are all the way from all the way down West Street and all the way up past the police station, all the way around that roundabout. And maybe they do a lap of the roundabout and into the church with the trumpet players blasting away. And everyone, and you can start to see it, can't you? People are coming out of the shops, people are coming out of the houses, and they're coming to see this man who is doing a charitable thing. He cares for the poor, he's there. What a good man. This is the ridiculousness of the person who does a good deed, a charitable deed, to be seen and praised and have the glory of people. You see, the commentators aren't sure whether this is a real situation or not. They think it could be real. Others say that this is Jesus painting an amusing caricature to show just the ridiculousness of their heart motive. Why are you giving to the poor? Why are you doing a charitable deed? Well, so that everyone may see how kind I am. And how we need to take notice of that picture and examine our own deeds, our own giving of time, of money, of energy. Why are we doing this? And there's some questions for us to ask. And if you pick up the sermon helps, at the box at the bottom, there's a reflection and it has these four questions in it. And these four questions would be good to ask yourself in your secret place before the Father. Here are the four questions. Firstly, do you need to tell others about the charitable deeds you have done? When you do something, you do something good, do you feel the need to tell others? Can you not just help yourself? Second question, do you expect something back from those you have done charity to? Do you expect something back? And can I just say, this can become quite subtle, even in our church giving, when we talk about how, because I've given, therefore it's my money, and you need to do what I tell you to do. Dear friends, do you expect something back from those you have done charity to? Third question, would you be content if no one knew what you had done? Would you be content if no one knew what you had done? And question four, would you be content if you never received acknowledgement for your charity? You may notice I'm asking the same question in different ways again and again to help us think and to help us search our hearts. Because if we cannot answer yes to questions three and four, and if we at two, three, and four, and if we answer, in fact, if we answer yes to all of them, get myself in trouble there, if we answer yes to all of them, well, this could mean that our motive for doing good, for our charitable deeds, is to have glory from men. And this is quite a dangerous thing, because notice in verse 16 of chapter 5, why does Jesus say, let your good works be seen by men? For what purpose? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. What is the reward for the one who makes a great pomp and show of their charitable deeds, of how good they are? That they may have glory from men. That they may have glory from men. It is unthinkable, isn't it? No, it should be. That what we are doing in this, if we are to fall into the trap of being like the hypocrite portrayed and paraded before us by the Lord Jesus Christ, what we are really doing is this. We are taking what belongs rightfully to God the Father, and we are wanting it for ourselves. Rather than him receiving the glory, we want the glory. Rather than people honouring and praising him, I want men to praise and honour me. It's a bit like Paul and Barnabas, was it? When they were taken for gods in one of the towns they visited. And the men wanted to bow down before them and to give sacrifices to them. They wanted to give the glory to Paul. And Paul's response is, no, we are only men. Praise God, not us. Or John the Baptist. What did he say? He said about the Lord Jesus Christ, he must increase and I must decrease. John was happy for his disciples to stop looking at John and start following the Lord Jesus Christ. So when our motives are that men would see our good works, men would give us praise and give us glory, remember, that's not ours. We are robbing from God. But thirdly, we've seen the tension of doing good works, the motive of doing good works, and now the reward of doing good works. Look at verse 1 and 4 again. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them, otherwise you have no reward from your Father in heaven. And then verse 4, we'll read from verse 3. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. There is a reward, and this—I've got to be honest with you. We talk so much about grace, and so much about how unworthy we are of anything. That when it comes to sections like this, and we talk about rewards, I've got this sort of—I feel the ropes coming around me. Like I don't want to talk about this really. But let me be very clear before I do: this is not a reward of salvation. This is not a reward that if you do charitable deeds, you'll get to heaven. You're first in line. You made it, mate. That's not what it's about. This is we have already been saved if we have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. We have already received grace from God. It's, what do we usually say when I'm on the door, Barbara? It's better to be in a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. If my only reward is to be a doorkeeper in the Lord's house, praise God. But there is more. There is more. God is generous. He is gracious. He is so kind, and he lavishes his blessings on us more and more. What reward do we ever deserve? None. And yet Jesus clearly teaches that for doing charitable deeds, our Father in heaven sees, our Father in heaven rewards. Well, what is this reward? And our reward is that God receives the glory. That's number one. There's a parallel here, I believe, that where their reward, the reward of the hypocrite, is to receive glory from men. Well, surely for the Christian, we just want to do good, and our reward is seeing God glorified. I think that's one reason why baptisms are such wonderful occasions. Because we are seeing God getting the glory. God has been at work. God receives the praise. God receives the honour for what he's done. And surely one of our highest rewards is that we see God being praised by those who once didn't praise him. But I think there is more. Because our reward is that God receives the glory and that he will honour us. Now, we're going to have a look at this more later on, but look at verse 19 of chapter 6. It comes right at the end of this section of when you. And look at verse 19. Jesus says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. That's the hypocrite's reward, isn't it? I get the praise of men on earth. But lay up for yourselves, verse 20, treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I do believe that there is something in heaven. There is something coming in all the fullness of the kingdom that Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, has set apart for his people accordingly. We will be judged on the way we have lived, although we will not be condemned. And so it's a parallel to the reward of that one which is a pat of the back from their friends and church members. And their reward, we may never see it in this life. But we continue to do it. If no one ever noticed, we continue to live for God's glory. To live for God's glory, knowing that that is part of the reward, but there is more to come that he has stored away for us, kept safe for us, until that day when we see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. So live for God's glory. And when we do, we need to remember some things. We need to remember, each day I think we need to remind ourselves of this, that God sees all we do. Doesn't the Lord Jesus say that again and again in these verses? He said, especially as we go on from verse 4, it starts in verse 4, your Father who sees in secret. And he goes on to verse 6, talking about prayer, your Father who is in the secret place and your Father who sees in secret. We need to remind ourselves that God sees all that we are doing, whether it's public or whether it's secret. And we need to remember that, quite frankly, we may not receive anything back from people in this life. We may do more charitable works than a single person we know. And we may be the most unthanked person. But dear friends, if that is you, remember that God sees, and remember that you may not receive anything back from people in this life, but we do have, remember, treasure in heaven. But what if someone knows about our deeds? What if someone does know about our charity? What if someone does know about these things? Then we may need to make every effort to point them to give the glory not to us, but to God the Father. To give him the glory, to give him the praise, to give him the honour, just as John the Baptist did, just as Paul did. So that we don't become guilty of robbing God of his glory for the temporary and shallow glory of men. So in closing, cast your eyes on him, who Scripture says was rich beyond all splendour, yet for our sakes became poor. And how like him, how like our Saviour, ought we to be in giving our money, in giving our time, in giving all of ourselves to others, just as he gave all of himself for us. Not so that we would receive the pat on the back, not so that we would receive the what a good Christian you are, but that he and God alone would receive all the glory, all the praise, all the worship, just as he deserves. May that be our prayer as we go from this place. Let's sing together, finally. 813. A charge to keep I have, a God to glorify, a never-dying soul to save and fit it for the sky. To serve the present age, my calling to fulfill, O may it all my powers engage to do my master's will. Arm me with jealous care as in your sight to live, and O your servant, Lord, prepare a strict account to give. Help me to watch and pray and on yourself rely, and let me never trust my trust betray, but press to realms on high.
present age, my sight to fulfill.
Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you that we have a Saviour who has been such an example to us, one who gave everything for us to meet the poor needs of our soul, to make us fit before you, right before you. And thank you for the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the promise that he has made, that every charitable deed we have done in secret, our Father has seen, and our Father will one day reward, that we may say like the Apostle Paul, "For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day." So, Father, help us to live for your glory. Help us to be generous in our time, in our money, and of ourselves, for your glory's sake. Amen.